Okay, it's the, what's today, the fifth day of July. Yesterday was July the 4th, and it's the fifth day of July 2015, year of our Lord. Where we sing the song, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, refreshing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward." Of course, you realize that you're talking about the Word of God. And all of those words that he uses in there are talking about the Word of God. The law of the Lord is talking about the Word of God. The commandments of the Lord is talking about the Word of God. The judgments of the Lord is talking about the Word of God. It's all about the Word of God, and that's what we'll be talking about today. We'll continue from where we left off last Sunday, but the title of the message today is "When the Thrill is Gone." When the thrill is gone, Hebrews 6:1 will be our scripture reading for this morning. Hebrews 6:1. I wanted to tell Josh before he left, but I didn't realize he was leaving. I was going to tell him during the beginning of this message that, and all of you, especially many of those who listen via sermon audio, that if Brother Thomas's messages seem strange, or there are lots of words that he uses that you're not accustomed to hearing, and there's phrases that he uses that you're not accustomed to, or used to, or are familiar with on a good basis, it might be that you need to read more in the King James Version and sit under good, sound doctrinal teachings. And that's what we'll be talking about today, using Hebrews 6:1 as our kickoff text. And then we'll be going back to Psalm 119, which is the same thing as Psalm 19 that we just read. The whole book, or the whole chapter of Psalm 119, is concerning the law of the Lord, or the Word of God, and it has many names for it there also, all of them referring to the Word of God. And in Hebrews 6:1, we read, "Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God, of the doctrine of baptisms and of laying on of hands and of the resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgments. And this will we do if God permit." Our God, we thank you for the reading of your word this morning. Pray your blessings upon it. Pray, O Lord, to be beneficial to your people. Lord, that you would be with your servant as he attempts to feed your sheep and your lambs. Lord, by those that may hear this message via sermon audio or CD or any other way that they may hear it, Lord, we pray your blessings upon your word. The Holy Spirit may fill us, fill the hearers. Lord, that we may grow in our love for thee, our God, through the preaching of your word. Help us, O Lord, we pray. Have mercy upon us this day, and we ask it in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Yeah, the thrill is gone, or when the thrill is gone. I've changed the title of this. I thought my grandson was outside popping firecrackers last night with his mom and dad, and how excited he was about going to be able to do that. And I thought, you know, just as soon as they finish with that, the thrill is gone. It's all over with. This, once the fireworks is done, the thrill is gone. And I thought about young people getting married. You know, when they are courting and then they marry, they think, boy, this is just wonderful. And it's such a thrill for them. And I was wondering this morning, how long do you reckon it is before most of them realize the thrill is gone? And that it's not what they expected when they were courting. And I'm talking about mostly notional Christians or professors of Christianity. For the true believer, God is their center of their marriage. The thrill never leaves them. Amen. Because they treat their husbands, treat their wives as Christ treats the church, and wives love their husbands, and it continues to be a wonderful, and matter of fact, even grows just like a Christian's love for his Lord grows. So the love for their spouse grows also. But for most couples that get married, it's a very short period of time that goes by before the thrill is gone. And then what do you do? When the thrill is gone, what do you do? And it's sort of that way with babes in Christ, that when they are excited about their salvation and excited about being born again and becoming a part of the church, what do you do when the thrill is gone? What happens then? Well, the apostle here tells us in Hebrews 6:1 that it's time to move on. Therefore, leaving the principles or the rudiments, the elementary things or the principal things of the doctrines of Christ, let us go on into perfection. In other words, don't linger around trying to hold on to the thrill, but go ahead and perfect yourself in Christ Jesus by the study of the Word. It is learning the Word of God is how we learn God. Now, most people today and most modern day churches would have no idea what Brother Thomas was preaching this morning, because of the phrases that he uses, the scriptural phrases that he uses concerning the doctrines of Christ, the commandments of God, they would have no idea what he's talking about. Because they're still trying to, in modern day churches, keeping the thrill going of, and the excitement of having some kind of programs and youth programs and you name it, old people programs, they got everything you can imagine to keep people entertained and excited so they'll be looking forward to coming back to church, but not teaching them the doctrines of Christ. That's the reason they don't put scriptures on their signs out front. Thank God we don't have one, a sign, except when it says Zion Baptist. We don't have one where we can electronically or go out there and stick up little letters. And if we did, it would read scriptural. That's all it would read is scriptures on there, because there's nothing greater than the Word of God. But they always put things that hopefully will excite people and want them to stop and visit at their place of assembly instead of teaching them the doctrines of Christ. It's the doctrines of Christ. It's the Word of God, especially learning the Old Testament and seeing how the Lord explained the Old Testament in the New Testament, how He brought to life and light the truths that were taught from the beginning up until Christ's time, how He brought those things to life to people to understand them and see them. That brought the thrill to true believers. Not being excited because they became a member of the church. And Paul is saying here, in Hebrews 6 that let's move on. Let's move on and come to the perfections of the doctrines of Christ and learn the other things other than the laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works. Let's move on and learn the doctrines of Christ and the commandments of God, the doctrines that perfect the soul and grow a person in grace so that he understands what it is that's happened to him. So he can walk with God. And it's really saddening when you talk to people to understand that they know nothing concerning the Scriptures. They know nothing of the doctrines. And some of their preachers have been preaching to them for years. Some of them have been sitting in church for years, maybe not heard the same preacher, but a couple of years at a time before he's let go or he finds a better paying job, a better paying church, and he moves on. But they've sat there for years and never learned the doctrines of the Scriptures and learn the things that would help them grow and become sound in the faith so that they understand that God is a sovereign God and that we don't have to worry about what's going to happen next. That whatever it is, we know that our God is the one who directs our steps. He's laid out our life for us. He's planned it all out, all the way up to the end, even the crossing of Jordan. It's all been planned out for us. It's all been decreed before the foundation of the world. We don't have to worry about one thing. We don't have to worry about lightning striking or tornado hitting or anything else. We don't have to worry about those things. If they do, who cares? God's ordained them for us.
Amen.
And don't you believe these lying preachers and idiot people that tell that, that was the devil did that. The devil did that. That was nothing but the devil did that. I had a sign down there at one of the local churches there in McGee that said, what was that idiotic thing say? It said, be careful who you trust. The devil used to be an angel. I thought, well, what do you think he is now? Did he turn into a dragon? He's still an angel. He may be evil and he may be fallen, but he didn't change. He's still an angel. What do they think? That shows you their mentality. Or what they're thinking. He still can only do what the Almighty allows him to do. God is sovereign. They're not in a battle to see who's the greatest.
Amen.
And that's the way the modern day churches try to make it sound and try to make it appear that they're in a battle. That God's trying to get you saved and the devil's trying to keep you. And if God could just overcome, if he could just woo you somehow, he'd get you down the aisle and you'd join the church and everything would be all right after that. That's the way they'll make it appear. Well, that's not doctrinally sound. You see, that's idiotic thinking in the head trying to reason out in their finite, carnal, ungodly heads how it all works. And it works exactly the way the Bible says it works. All you got to do, you know what I'm going to say. Read the book. Just read the book. And continue to read it with much prayer and fasting and much meditation with God and much pleading with Him. And people say, well, I read it and I don't understand. You think that's an excuse or something? You think that God's going to say, well, okay, you don't understand it. You don't have to read it. Just hang on till Jesus comes. Well, that's not what the Scripture says here. Let us lay aside those principal things, the principles of the doctrines of Christ, and let us go on into perfection. Don't keep wallowing around in the baby food when you ought to be eating real food. It's time to grow up, to read the book. And there are doctrines that we need to know and understand so that we can grow and our love for the Lord will grow as we learn these different doctrines. When you learn the sovereignty of God, your love for God will just, and your faith will increase as you understand and as God enlightens you and you realize that God is sovereign God and that nothing can happen except God has ordained it, decreed it, and allows it to happen.
Amen.
Nothing. Now, let's turn back to Psalm 119. This is a beautiful psalm. It's actually more than twice as long as any other chapter in the whole book. They call it the unusual psalm. And you do know that the Bible commands us to sing psalms.
Yes.
Commands us to sing psalms. And I was singing that 19 this week. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimonies of the Lord are pure. It's a wonderful way to edify, build up the church doctrinally, and with sound singing when you sing the scriptures. And that's the purpose of singing the scriptures anyway. Psalm 119, let's begin at verse 1. I was going to start way on down in Psalm 119. I can't remember exactly. It seemed like I was going to start over there around 150 or somewhere like that. But let's start at verse 1. We'll probably go through Psalm 119. It's all about the law. And if you could read Hebrew, you would understand that this psalm is broken into 22 parts. And you see probably in your Bible, it's got Psalm 119, and then it's got, I don't know how to pronounce that first word, Aleph. That's the first letter in the Hebrew alphabet. And then the second word, down there at verse 9, at the top of it, it's got Beth, which is the second letter to the Hebrew. And there's 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet. And every one of these verses begins with that letter. It's a very unusual psalm. It's like David was trying to help his readers to be able to memorize it, especially if they were singing it, because the first eight, and each one has eight verses in it, and the first eight verses all start with the first letter in the Hebrew alphabet, and the next eight start with the second letter of the Hebrew alphabet. Now, in English, you don't read that way, but if you were reading in Hebrew, that's how it would look, and it'd be real easy for you to learn and to understand it, because you would know already that the first eight start with the first letter of the alphabet, and the second eight start with the second letter, and so on. Now, blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Now, the law of the Lord is the Word of God. It's you can look it up. It's the Word of God. That's where the law of God is at. It's in the Word of God. It is the Word of God. And he says, blessed are the undefiled in the way. Now, the undefiled that are in the way are those that are perfect. That's what the word means. They're not only perfect, but they're sincere. And he says, blessed are they that are undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. And let's go on and read down to about verse 3, and then we'll hesitate. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. He said, no, that just don't fit anybody I know. somebody I know has iniquities. Brother Thomas was talking about it this morning. That we have all offended God and still do. One way or another. We forget. We backslide. We don't watch our tongue. We say things that we ought not. We don't say things that we should when we should. In many ways we offend God by breaking His commandments. But He says here, blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep His testimonies, which is His word. Again, that word testimonies is used the same way. His testimonies are things that testify of God. That is in His word. His whole word continues and contains His testimony. The testimonies of the Lord. And that seek Him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in His ways. Now, there we have the word walking. They walk in His ways. You have to remember that this is sort of like 1 John 3 and 1 John 5 there. Matter of fact, we can turn there if you'd like. 1 John 3:9. We all sin. We all commit some kind of transgression of God's commandments. But God's children, the elect of God, those that were chosen and called, do not live in them. They do not walk a course of sin. Nor do they enjoy it. Now, because they know it's contrary to the will of God, and their whole life since the new birth, since God has shown them that they are sinners, and that they should turn from their sins to serve the living God, no longer do they enjoy sinning. They do not like it because it breaks or it is unpleasing to God. The Bible says in 1 John 3:9, whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. Now, here is a wonderful doctrine that we need to understand, and there's two things to point out about this. One is, everybody sins. John even says, if a man say he hath not sin, he's a liar. And the truth's not in him, if he say he has no sin. So we all sin. We have a sinful nature. Now, I don't know if they teach this in modern day churches or not, because I don't go to them or listen to them anymore, but we all have a sinful nature, and we have a new nature. The Bible says we are a new creation in Christ Jesus. We've been created anew. But we still have our old sinful nature with us. It's here. It's the vessel of clay that we live in. So he's talking about two things here. One is that we do not live in sin. We don't walk in sin. We don't love sin. We don't practice sin. It's not a normal thing for us to dwell in sin, meaning transgressing the commandments of God. Christian people do not do that. Now, they may backslide. They may wander off from God and get on a road to destruction of themselves, their own bodies, because of their turning away from the Word of God. But they're not going to stay there. You see young Christians do it from time to time, some more often than we would like. They will turn and go their way, especially with those that we know and people that we know. It happens pretty often. It's sort of like part of their training, I guess. It's sort of like a little child. I keep telling them, Thomas wants to pull up on things, you know, when they get that age. They want to pull up on things and they'll run and grab him and, you know, and hold on. I said, let him fall. Oh, no, you're so mean. I said, no, I'm not mean. He's just off the ground. His feet's that long. I mean, his legs is that long. He's not going to hurt nothing. God made his head soft when he's young so it don't break when he falls, because he knows he is. So what do? You let him fall. What does he learn from that? Learns how to not let go. He learns how to ease himself down and hold on till he gets to the floor. You bump your head enough times, you figure it out. So it's sort of like training ground for folks. But we don't live in sin. We may go down that road and learn that lesson, but we're not going to stay there if you're a true born-again believer. That's a doctrine of God. Now also, this new nature that's been created in us in Christ Jesus, it is created by God, and it is a holy thing. It cannot sin. Now the Holy Spirit lives within us. He lives in this vessel of clay that we have. He dwells with us, yet we still sin. We still commit transgressions of God's law, God's word, but not the new man. You see, we have two natures here. We have an old nature and we have a new nature. And the new nature is born from above and it cannot sin. It will never sin. It cannot sin. You say, well, show me that in the scriptures. Well, I just read you one verse right here. And what it says, whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him. He cannot sin because he is born of God. It means exactly what it says. Now, turn over to 1 John 5. And let's look at verse 18. We know that whatsoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. You say, well, these things are hard to understand. Well, I told you what Paul said over there in Hebrews 6:1. Let's move on. It's time to learn some things about yourself. Now turn to Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7. Brother Thomas said, watch out, I'll be there in 2, 3, 4 years. Be preaching my sermons. Romans 7, we'll start at verse 17. This is where the Apostle Paul is telling about this sinful nature that he has. I'm in the wrong chapter here. I got it. Now, verse 14, let's start there. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing, for to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now, if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. You see, there's two natures there. He's talking about I and the sin that dwells in me, the flesh, the old nature. But then he says, I. It's not I that do it. It's not the renewed man. It's not the new creation in Christ Jesus. It's not the new nature that's in me doing it. It's the old man. It's sin in me that's doing it. Not the new man. When you begin to understand those things, when you begin to understand that we've got two natures, we've got a nature that's been born by God, been born from above, and that it is that nature that is supposed to have dominion over us and not the old nature. The Bible says that sin will no longer have dominion over us. It will not dominate us. The Spirit of God lives in us. And we will put to death, we will mortify, put to death the things of the flesh. We'll battle with those things. If you read all of chapter 7, you'll see what Paul's talking about even more. We'll battle those things on a daily basis. Some of them we will overcome without a lot of effort or stress. Others we'll battle all our life. And the closer a person comes to God and the more God a person loves God, the more sin he sees in himself. And the more he sees his need to stay before the throne of grace. And to come before the throne of grace. Now, you can turn to these if you want to. You don't have to. I can read them to you. In Jeremiah 10:23. That, I tell you what, let's go ahead and read Psalm 119 down to verse 5. Psalm 119 down to verse 5. They also do no iniquity. Verse 3, walk in his ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. That word precepts is the same as commandments, and it's meaning the word of God, the law of God, those precepts. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. You see, David understood that in himself there was no way. He wouldn't even come close. And he's pleading with God to have mercy upon him and help him. That's what he's doing in verse 5. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Again, that word statutes is the same as precepts, same as law, same as testimony, same as commandments. The statutes. Oh, that my ways, or that, oh, that I were directed. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Now, Jeremiah 10:23. Jeremiah, the Lord says to Jeremiah, or Jeremiah says to the Lord, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. You see, we're incapable of following and keeping the law of God without the Lord Jesus leading us, guiding us, strengthening us, loving us, and us staying in Him. We are in Christ Jesus. If you are not in Christ Jesus, you'll fail miserably. That's the reason it's very important that Christian people continue to read the book. Continue to stay before the throne of grace. Continue to learn the doctrines of the Scriptures that you might be strengthened in the inner man, and that you might grow in grace, and that you might grow in love for our God. That's how Christian people grow. O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. And Psalm 37:23 says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Now see, that's a promise. That's a promise. That the steps of a good man. You say, well, how do I know I'm good? Have you been born from above? If you're born from above, you're considered a good man, and the Lord directs your steps, and He delighteth in your way. Proverbs 3:6 says, in all thy ways acknowledge Him. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Well, what does that mean? In all thy ways, acknowledge Him. In all of thy ways, you go to the Lord. In other words, everything that you say, you ask the Lord, you plead with the Lord, you make sure that what you're about to say is going to bring glory to God before you say it. And He'll direct your path into everything that you do. That's the reason I told you that Christian people make the best workers. Because the Bible says that whatsoever you do, in word or in deed, do all as unto the Lord. And do all for the glory of God. And so it doesn't matter if you're washing dishes or sweeping floors or mowing yards or whatever you do. And you want to be sure that it's done to bring glory to God. It's not just how well you do it, but the reason that you're doing it makes a big difference. You see, Pharisees and the scribes tried to do their best to keep the law of God. But it was impossible for them to do. So what do? They begin to change it. They'd add a little here and take a little here and remove a little from here and add a little more here so that they could do the things that it said and not do the things that it didn't say. But they changed it.